108.
Concessions, concessions, and more concessions. United Auto Workers agree to the Chrysler Fiat deal. I'll explain what that means ultimately, and also the death of anything Pontiac, the entire brand for GM, because they're expected to throw it on the scrap heap. Meanwhile, seven NASCAR fans hurt because a car, it was Carl Edwards, actually flipped into the fence. Thank goodness it didn't go any further than that. We'll talk about restrictor plates when we get into sports shorts a bit. Also, speaking of that, we have the NBA playoffs. Who did what? The Cavaliers swept the Pistons, I'll tell you that. And a lot of people pulling for the Bulls. They even their series with the Celtics. In the meantime, the ginormous, it is a word, story is this swine flu deal. Oh, yeah. Have you heard about it? Traveled to Mexico lately. Some people on spring break heading down to parts south. All the problems at the border now with the drugs, the guns, and people coming in and out of the border illegally. On top of this, we have the swine flu. Wow. And that's where we start here on America Tonight. Hope you had a fabulous weekend. This is Kate Delaney. Remember, you can always jingle these digits, 800-259-5791, or shoot us a quick email, americatonight.net. But it's worth asking that question. Would you be afraid to travel to Mexico? Do you know that they have over 1,600 suspected swine flu cases in and around different parts of Mexico, and at least 103 people dead. So far, there are 20 cases in the United States, 8 in New York City. In Canada, they have cases of the swine flu, and they're tracing a lot of this all back to Mexico because many of the people had been in Mexico. So, Sanjay Gupta has become the doctor to more than just the stars. He is CNN's star, and he talked about what swine flu even is.
I think anybody who's watching your program right now has a very low chance of ever having a problem with swine flu. So I don't think there's need for panic by any means. We're very interested in this because this is a virus that has gone from being something that can just make people miserable for a few days to a virus that can kill people. Over 80 people now in Mexico. What exactly is going on there? Why is it having that kind of mortality rate there? We're not exactly sure. I think that's what a lot of the investigative parts of this are trying to answer right now. People might become exposed, then get on an airplane, fly somewhere, and then get sick when they flew somewhere, and in the process may have spread along the virus, which may be why you're seeing this start to appear in these clusters around the world, so far just in North America, but Kansas, New York, Texas, California, and the United States, four locations in different parts of the country. It may have been as a result of air travel.
I'll tell you what, this is a big one for Janet Napolitano. She has the spotlight even bigger bearing down on her from last week, the comment that upset a lot of the vets where she was talking about the crazy right-wing extremism. Now, how will she respond in her big role leading Homeland Security? The response has to be swift. Man, you cannot let people in and out of the borders, because we're talking about in Canada, they're having a few problems. Obviously, you don't want it to spread. The big problem is coming out of Mexico. And why is it such a big deal? I mean, you hear swine flu and it's pigs. You think, how do you get that? Ooh, pork. Is the pork undercooked or whatever? It has nothing to do with that, with the pork. It does have to do with pigs, obviously. I mean, it can be a serious health outbreak, and to have this public emergency, it's kind of like it's a flu. It's a mild flu, but it is a crisis. It could be a crisis, a public health scare, potentially. See, none of the 20 cases, thank goodness, in the U.S. are very serious, but the virus, from what I've been able to glean from this, the virus is genetically pretty much identical to the strain of the virus that's actually killing the people in Mexico. So here's the scoop, folks. This is a new virus, so there is no natural immunity to it. It could spread like wildfire. Remember that movie that Dustin Hoffman was in. I can't think of what it was, Quarantine or something. This man, that's exactly what I thought of. I'm not trying to spread fear, but imagine the chance that thousands of people catch this. Normally, you don't think of the flu and death, but it's a big deal the more people that are infected. You know, you have to think of the age, and then you have to think of people possibly getting pneumonia. Mm. I mean, even the folks they say in Mexico that got it, you know, you see the pictures and they're all walking around with a mask. You're talking about people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. Well, some of them have already died. So my question was, would you be afraid to go to Mexico? Because frankly, I know a lot of people that crawl across the border to go to Cabo San Lucas, to go fishing, to go sunbathing, to just hang out and drink some tequila shooters, to be honest. I don't know if they're going to be making that trip anytime soon. And if you are short of breath, if you feel lethargic, if you have any kind of a fever, this would be one of the possible symptoms, lack of appetite. But, you know, you start running down these symptoms. It's like those commercials. You know those commercials that we make fun of where they say, oh, here's a side effect, and they list like 25 different things, and you've already shut off at number two? Well, a lot of the symptoms are things that could mean other deals. So in the U.S., California, you heard Sanjay Gupta say it, California, Kansas, New York, Ohio, and Texas as well. We're not running around with surgical masks, right? In Mexico City, they're running around with the masks. They give them away on the subway. They've canceled schools. A lot of the public spots are closed. Church services were postponed. Felipe Calderon, the president, is trying to isolate the infected people. And think about the travel between the United States and Mexico, both legally and illegally. I mean, even airport screening, what they're doing, they're looking at travelers from Mexico for any kind of flu symptoms. In China and Russia and Taiwan, they're going to put anyone with any of the symptoms under quarantine right away. So this could really ultimately be a deadly thing, because every epidemic is different. And Janet Napolitano, like I said, is in the hot seat right now. We're going to have more about the swine flu, obviously, throughout this show. And I am curious if anybody's planning on going to Mexico anytime soon. As somebody who used to go to Mexico a lot, but I don't have any trips coming up, I think I would postpone. I think I would wait, frankly, because of what we're hearing coming out of all parts of Mexico. I'd wait, absolutely. Hey, what's it like to be the VP to a rock star? We're going to let you hear a little bit of that in case you missed it. I've always been a big fan of 60 Minutes, and Leslie Stahl did an interview with Joe Biden that was interesting. And one of the things that came out of the interview, not a surprise, because he said he wanted to be the consultant, is that he is the consultant to Barack Obama. So therefore, when we're judging these 100 days, should we judge the vice president and how well he's done so far? We're going to talk about reverse mortgages. Are they good? Are they deadly? Should you avoid them? Chuck Salisbury coming up next with us here on ATN.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and help us win this battle.
Are you tired of losing your hard-earned savings in retirement? Does the continued loss of purchasing power through the hidden tax of inflation brought on by trillions of dollars in government bailouts bother you? Then please let me, Dwayne Daly, with Midas Resources, help you to protect what you have left. Call me at 800-686-2237, extension 115, and I will explain to you how to retain your wealth and purchasing power now and in the future with gold and silver. Gold and silver have been a form of currency for 6,000 years compared to our present fiat currency, which has only been in existence for 38 years and failing fast. Call me, Dwayne Daly, at 800-686-2237, extension 115, to start your protection of wealth today. I will custom fit the protection package to your personal needs. No amount is too small, so start today. Call Dwayne Daly with Midas Resources at 800-686-2237, extension 115, for your gold and silver protection portfolio.
Did you know many vitamin and mineral supplements on the market are made from rocks and ground-up shells? Think about that. Would you swallow a handful of shells you found at the beach? Our body wasn't designed to digest rocks and shells. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman, formulator of Choose for Health, a delicious-tasting, chewable dietary supplement derived from 16 fruits, vegetables, and antioxidants. Unlike hard-to-digest pills, Choose for Health is a convenient chewable which allows for better digestion. The choice is yours. Swallow rocks and shells to supplement your diet or a natural chewable product you can better digest. Choose for Health, the world's first superfruit, sea vegetable, antioxidant chewable. Whole food nutrition, not rocks and shells. 1-800-210-1922. Call now and receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. 1-800-210-1922. Or go to orderchoose.com.
Wrong, rather, with the Beatles, can you? Hey, everybody, it's America Tonight. Kate hanging with you from coast to coast and everywhere in between. Well, all of us have lots of questions about housing. What about the whole investment thing? If you stay up late night, sometimes like me, you know, you fall asleep on the couch or whatever, there's still a zillion shows about why investing in real estate is the best thing to do. But what do you do when you're in this situation now? I know people that got stuck with houses when everything was riding high and it was all cresting. It looked pretty good. I even know some people that were flipping houses that were doing well with that. Obviously, it's a little bit tougher now if you look around and look at the foreclosures and look at some of the neighborhoods. So, you know, how do you differentiate between one neighborhood from another neighborhood and from trying to get into the investment side of it? Or what if you're stuck? What about doing the reverse mortgage thing? That's something else that you have to look at. So coming up, we're going to speak with Chuck Salisbury. That's around the bend. We'll have him here in a few minutes. But in the meantime, you know, we've been talking about the swine flu thing and the fact that a lot of people, I think, well, at least temporarily, will avoid Mexico and how it could spread. It doesn't seem, you know, you see these, it used to be, you see these pictures in the news, say, oh yeah, that's in China or that's wherever, but it's not. It's here in the United States. You know, Centers for Disease Control, I went to their website, there's no doubt that they're putting out a ton of information and they're issuing a warning. They're saying it's a public health emergency. You have 8 New York students that have been infected. You have 20 cases that I mentioned before already confirmed here on our soil in 5 of the different states that I mentioned as well. So, you know, this isn't something that you can just fluff off. Certainly not. All right. We're going to get Chuck, like I said, in a second here and talk about neighborhoods and houses, because getting ready for Chuck's interview, I drove around a couple of neighborhoods to look at the foreclosure versus sale signs that were out versus no houses were for sale. And man, I'll tell you what, not too far from me, and this is just outside of Dallas, Texas, which is a top five city, a big city. Man, I'm telling you, I am seeing in the same decent kind of middle class neighborhood, I'm seeing the same houses on the market. Yeah, over and over again. Yeah. No joke. So I'm wondering if you're seeing the same thing in your neighborhood. Are you seeing foreclosures? Are you seeing sale signs? Are you talking to your neighbors and they're saying forget about it and they took their houses off the market? That's happened a ton to people I know. Like I said, I even had some friends who seemed to be doing well and thought they were going to get a second place and they weren't able to do it. I mean, you know, they were in the process of doing it or whatever, and then it got gunked up in the middle of it, or they got stuck holding the bag because, you know, they couldn't, you know, basically they're stuck with it. They couldn't unload it. They thought they were going to make a quick flip. So that whole flipping thing, that's what's really caused Las Vegas to be crippled. So like I said, coming up around the bend, we're going to talk to Chuck Salisbury, and we'll ask him about the whole investment side of it and all that other sort of stuff. But in the meantime, let's continue with the swine flu. Matt, I think we have more on Sanjay Gupta, and he tells you a little bit more specifics. I mentioned some of the symptoms and said it might be hard to differentiate because some of the things that I mentioned, like the being lethargic and not having an appetite and all that sort of stuff, man, you could stretch that to mean a lot of other things, symptoms of a lot of other things. So obviously, the people in Mexico who know they've come in contact with people, they're concerned. I mean, you have over 100 people dead. You have 1,600 people that are sick. So there would be concern if you felt that. There's also suspected cases in Spain and France and New Zealand and Israel and Hong Kong. So there might be some good ways you can protect yourself, and we're going to talk about that in a second. But what about the symptoms? Let's hear the symptoms.
Well, you know, for the vast majority of people, if they were to get it, their chance of survival are very high. But it's a good question because there are some things you probably can do. I think the first thing is if you're paying attention to things that you may have otherwise not worried about as much, you may have a little bit heightened level of concern now. So fever, high fever, usually over 101.5, which is 38.5 Celsius, body aches, chills. Those are all sort of common signs of flu. There's also nausea and vomiting, and it all comes on pretty suddenly. Those are things that I think people are a little bit more worried about. What we now know, and I've talked to doctors this morning about it, is that an antiviral medication known as Tamiflu can be of help. Talk to your doctor about it, but if someone is becoming sick and they take this medication early, it can be of a pretty significant help, at least according to the Centers for Disease Control. But so, you know, I think a heightened level of concern, but not panic. There is no vaccine, and this is an interesting process. What they're doing now is they're stockpiling the virus. The virus is what you use to make the vaccine. And then at some point, the vaccine manufacturers, along with the infectious disease organizations, make a decision. Okay, we now have enough cases where we need to start making a vaccine. There's two problems with that. One is that it can take 2 to 3 months to make the vaccine. And two is when they start making the vaccine, they take away their production of making the typical seasonal flu vaccine. So they may have shortages of that. So this is sort of a big decision in their world as to when and if to make this vaccine.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I also went back and tried to find this out, and I think it's probably been printed a couple places by now. I'm sure other reporters and people were doing the same thing. But we haven't seen the swine flu, anything, conversation about the swine flu since the mid-70s. There was actually a guy that was stationed at Fort Dix, not too far from where I grew up, who died within a day of becoming infected with the swine flu. And you had, you know, 500 or so soldiers who also were afflicted with it, and they started a series of vaccinations. There was a campaign about it, and it was a little bit controversial because you might have ultimately had about 40 million Americans or so that got inoculated, but as a result, several hundred people developed a serious neurological, I can't even say it, condition. And so they stopped inoculating people for it. I had forgotten about that. And that was obviously a very big deal in the mid 70s. Cause I, as a kid, as a little kid, I can remember discussions about the swine flu. Like I said, it was probably, Fort Dix was probably less than an hour from where I went to school, and there were a lot of discussions about it then. But it has a pandemic potential, and that's the key, because it spreads quickly. For example, because that's a concern to me. Well, you know, you're listening to me and you're saying, okay, well, swine flu and yeah, Mexico, I saw the pictures, yeah, Hong Kong, and okay, there's some cases in the United States. But as somebody said to me, you know, you're look at a single sneeze and what comes out of a sneeze and where anything lands, which is kind of a gross way to put it. But you think of elevator buttons and railings and escalators and grocery carts, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. Doorknobs. I used to work with somebody, I thought, wow, that is so OCD, where they wouldn't touch, they always wipe down a keyboard, and they wouldn't touch any doorknobs to anything, to their office, to coming into the main office. And the reason was because they thought they would get all other kinds of things from people not washing their hands. But certainly, this is a way that you could get it. So it would have to be worrisome, because people are getting sick without any encounters with pigs. So if you have people, like I said before, 20s, 30s, 40s that are dying, I mean, that's got to be a bad strain of this swine flu. And then the way to contain it, that you can't contain it, you know, that's the part. And so they tell everybody, you know, wash your hands. That's all of the infections are spread by hands. If you can't wash your hands regularly, use a sanitizer. I mean, I know nobody's going to call me and cop to this, but I always wonder this. How many people, I see it when I've gone into restrooms where I see somebody and I want to, like, pull them back in, where I see somebody leave the restroom and not wash their hands. With all the transferring that goes on, maybe the person that I thought that was so OCD was pretty smart, knowing that most people don't do that. That's why a lot of people won't eat out. That's because they're worried that the people that work, that are serving you and whatever, not all of them are washing their hands constantly. Hey, Matt, have you ever worked in food service at all? Matt.
Yes.
I was
a bartender.
Oh, did you wash your hands a ton?
Of course.
I knew you're not going to say, oh, no, I never washed my hands. I was too lazy. I didn't feel like it. I just left and I didn't do it. But I worked as well at Ohio University, and I saw a lot of people not washing their hands. Hey, we're going to get Chuck on the flip side. Hang with us, everybody.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth, because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA, unless you trust the government. The Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communication Radio Network.
If you have over $10,000 in credit card debt, you need to hear this. Have you been watching the banks getting their bailout money and wondering where your relief is? The answer you're looking for is the Bailout Group. The Bailout Group has settled over $100 million in credit card debt for people just like you. The Bailout Group can help cut your debt by up to 60% of its original value, removing those high interest fees and rolling everything into one low monthly payment. And the best part? All GCN listeners qualify for a free
free 5-minute debt relief consultation. This is the system that credit card companies don't want you to know about. This is a fast, proven, and legal process for your credit card debt concerns. Call the Bailout Group now at 800-324-6554. That's 800-324-6554. Debt relief experts are standing by. You have nothing to lose except your credit card debt. Call 800-324-6554. 800-324-6554 today.
Do you have more than $15,000 in credit card debt? Before you spend another dollar on minimum payments, call American Debt Specialists right now and find out how much of your debt can be eliminated. That's right, eliminated. Call 800-237-7042. While the government is bailing out the credit card companies, we're here to make sure you get help too. Just one call could reduce your credit card debt by as much as 60%. 60%! We'll bring you peace of mind with reduced debt and just one low monthly payment that fits your budget. It's simple, legal, and we'll get the job done for you fast.
It was amazing. They helped me consolidate all my credit card debt into one low monthly payment.
Now, we don't have to file for bankruptcy.
Managing one payment is giving me my life back.
For a free debt evaluation and to learn how you can save thousands right now, call 800-237-7660. That's 1-800-237-7660. 800-237-7660.
Spring is here, growing season. The economy is not getting any better. In fact, it's getting worse. Think about it. At this rate, how will your life be in a month or even a year? Maybe you've been putting things off, but the time to act is now. You need to get your seeds before it's too late. At OrganicaSeed.com, you'll find one of the largest online selections of heirloom seeds, survival seed packs, as well as the giant vegetable seed collections that can feed you and your family for years. Grow your very own fresh vegetables, wheatgrass, fruits, herbs, rice, tea, coffee, and tobacco. With detailed growing guides available to you at no charge, you can maximize your harvest and investment. And the best part? All orders ship within 24 hours. So head over to OrganicaSeed.com. That's OrganicaSeed.com. OrganicaSeed.com today.
Want to hang on to our little boxes, don't we, no matter where you live? If you're listening to me in Connecticut, or you're listening to me outside of Chicago, or perhaps Florida, or in California, obviously. And everybody has a different scenario. Are you struggling to make the mortgage payments? Were you thinking about a reverse mortgage? Some older people being pushed in that direction. Is that a smart thing to do? How about the foreclosures I mentioned? Is it a good time to pick up a foreclosure? Is it a bad idea altogether? The guru of answering these kind of questions, knocking them down, is Chuck Salisbury. You probably have heard of Chuck. He's got a book out called The Incredible Investment Book. He's on radio stations all over the place. Chuck, thanks for coming on America Tonight. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much for the honor, Kate. I appreciate it.
Hey, before we get to the reverse mortgage thing, I am curious about this. I did a little cruising, and I just told the audience this, around a couple of neighborhoods outside of Dallas, because that's where I am right now, where we're broadcasting from, Dallas and Minneapolis. And I'm in some of the best neighborhoods, some of the worst neighborhoods, still seeing a lot of for sale signs, and also seeing foreclosures. Why is it a bad idea to grab a foreclosure because everybody wants a good deal? Is it not such a good deal?
Well, you know, there are a lot of good deals out there right now, but if you buy a foreclosure while it's in the process of being foreclosed, my guess is the property has not devalued enough for you to actually make any money on it in this market. Number one, if somebody is trying to sell the property and it's not selling, you don't want to be the one to bail them out. Because, you know, being a good Samaritan is not how you make money. How you make money is buying the property at the lowest price. After the property goes into foreclosure, it goes back to the bank. We do buy foreclosures, but for a very specific reason, and we never buy from the owners. We always buy from the bank. The banks have that down as a non-performing loan, and when they sell it to us, they'll probably sell it to us for half of what the seller, the owner, is willing to sell it to us. And at that price, we can take that property, we can fix it up, we can rent it, and have a positive cash flow. Remember, the bad idea comes when people think they're going to buy a foreclosure and then flip it. It's not going to happen. This is not the kind of market to think about flipping property.
What if you're a first-time home buyer? Because everybody, you know, what's really getting pushed down a lot of people's throats is, oh, this is the perfect time to buy it as long as you have, you're making enough cash. If you're double-income folks, whatever it is, I mean, this is the time. Do it, do it, do it. Make the decision now because you can really get some of these steals, and then plus you'll get $8,000 off on the taxes. Is that true? Is it a good time to buy right now?
Kate, it is a good time. If you're buying it, you're going to be owner-occupied. In other words, you're not looking to get rich quick. You're not looking to take advantage of somebody else's misery. What you're looking for is a house, and you want to buy that house at a good price. Certainly today is a much better price than a year ago or 2 years ago. Texas has been one of our buying objectives for quite a period of time because the prices of homes in Texas are very reasonable. We've bought a lot of homes in Austin. We've bought a lot of homes and continue to buy in Houston. Dallas is a little bit more expensive, but still, in retrospect, it's a good time to be buying homes in any of those markets. So if you're going to live in it, yeah, it is a good time to be shopping.
And what's the rule of thumb with, and I know every property is different, so this is such a wide open question, but what's the rule of thumb about how long you have to stay in a house if it's your main property, your main domain?
Well, that's going to vary with people. You know, if you're a young family raising children, more than likely your goals and objectives are to stay there until the kids get through school. Now, that's a long-term goal, but at least that's the objective that parents have when they move children into a brand-new school in a brand-new neighborhood. Now, once you get the kids in school and they're playing with the other kids in the neighborhood, it's very hard to uproot the kids. So normally if it's a young family, they're going to stay longer. If it's an older family where their kids are maybe in high school, they may be looking at this as, you know, just kind of a transition home. They may stay in it 5-10 years and then move on to a retirement home. So it depends upon the family, Kate.
Is real estate, I mean, when you look at a portfolio, you talk about stocks and everything else, but real estate still is, to own a house or to own several properties if you can do it, it's still a good thing, isn't it, right?
Yeah, the American dream is home ownership. I was a stockbroker for 22 years, and I want to tell everybody out there, the best thing they can do for their portfolio is fire their stockbroker. There isn't any stockbroker in the business that I know of, and I was in it for 22 years. I was with Prudential and Smith, Barney, and Shearson, Lehman, et cetera, and I was a branch manager for a good period of time. I don't know of one stockbroker that ever made anybody wealthy. That's not the way to get wealthy. The securities business is this. They make money with your money. It's called OPM. We use that to our advantage in real estate. But real estate is a better investment than anything offered by any of the stock brokerage firms. So if you're going to play in the stock market, consider it to be that. Play. It is risk money. It's gambling money. Now, I'm not saying you can't make money in the stock market, but for you to make money in the stock market, you have to take charge of your money, you have to do your own research, and you have to know the company before you buy it.
Boy, that's so true. I have so many friends in the business, and I schooled myself in it from them and from other people because I found the same thing, Chuck, that ultimately people steer you in the direction of whatever Merrill's doing or whoever it was at the time, and that's just the way it goes. And so sometimes you win.
You know, they really serve the hedge fund. So when you see a research report to buy or sell a particular stock, they're serving the end user, which is the hedge funds and the big money. The retail customer becomes a dumping ground for stock that they want to get rid of. And, of course, if they want to buy stock, they want to dump the stock. They want the price to go down. So they're going to tell you to sell, and you got a bunch of sellers out there, and people sell good stocks because the hedge funds want to buy it at 10-20% cheaper. So it is very self-serving. The securities industry, believe me, is in the business to make money for themselves, and so is the stockbroker. And by the way, the worst investment is mutual funds. So if you want to get a worse track record than what your brokerage firm offers to you, invest in mutual funds. They have the worst track record. It's the worst investment, and it is the most expensive investment you can make. Forget about the load, no load. That has nothing to do with it. The people that invest in mutual funds pay all the expenses, which is the rent, the huge salaries, et cetera. They pay it all.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, reverse mortgages. There's been a lot written lately about reverse mortgages, a lot of stories on that about older. In fact, you even see commercials. Who is it? I want to say it's, he used to be on Heart to Heart. The guy who was on Heart to Heart, kind of good-looking guy.
Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, I can't think of his
name.
His
name escapes me. I know it when I see him, but it disgusts me. He's doing it for bucks. He hasn't done his research. If he did his research, which is what I did before I did my book, by the way, I did research reverse mortgages. It is the worst thing that a senior can do. Their last remaining asset is their home, and now they want to sell their home for 35 cents on the dollar. The fees on a reverse mortgage are enormous, and that's the reason so many people are jumping into it. It is a very, very profitable business. If you do a reverse mortgage, if you're a senior citizen, remember, you still have to pay the taxes, you still have to maintain the home, you have to pay the insurance, all those expenses are still yours. And by the way, if your home happens to go up in value, which I think houses are going to go up in value in the next couple of years because we're going to get into a period of very, very high inflation again, and the only investment that keeps pace with inflation is real estate, you are not going to be able to participate when your house goes from, let's say, $300,000 to $600,000 again or whatever. You're not going to be able to participate. You're going to kick yourself for selling the house. There is a better way. There is a way for people to remain liquid, to have cash flow, and actually increase the value of their estate as opposed to devaluation or decreasing the value of their estate, which is exactly what they're going to do when they do a reverse mortgage. You're going to make money for somebody else, as usual, another government idea that makes no economic sense. Worst thing to do. So if anybody is thinking about a reverse mortgage, go to our website, which is 10percentdown.com. Register. It's a free resource for you. You can be in touch with our people, and again, we'll never charge you a penny. All we're here for is to make sure that people don't make mistakes. So talk to somebody at my company, 10percentdown.com, and we will tell you the facts on reverse mortgages, and we will give you a solution which is 10 times better than any reverse mortgage out there.
Yeah, it's too bad because I think a lot of people see that. I think it's Robert Wood I was thinking of. I can't remember.
Robert Wagner.
Yeah. Robert Wagner, not Wood. Robert Wagner, yeah. That's
See,
it. Mm-hmm.
We work as a good team. You gave me Robert, I gave you Wagner.
So he's so lovable. You see him and you think, oh, I'm stuck. What do I do? And that's the sad thing because that's really, I think it's preying on older people because if they don't have somebody else who knows the answers to lean on, whatever, the next thing you know, they're in the trap and it's too late, right?
Yeah, and then, of course, there's all these insurance agents that used to sell these annuities, and they went to these variable annuities, which people didn't think they were risky, and they turned out to be enormously risky because they partnered mutual funds along with annuities. Annuities had traditionally been very safe. Well, a lot of older people lost a lot of money in those products. And by the way, annuities have enormous commissions on them. You want to check it out? Again, you can go to the website and talk to one of our people. Before you buy an annuity, we'll tell you exactly what that insurance agent is going to make on that deal. And you're going to pay for it. Out of $100,000, for example, it could be immediately worth $92,000 because you're paying $8,000 in commission. That is not a good investment, folks. That's a way to lose money.
Yeah, absolutely not. Hey, we have like a minute left, but you've got this book, and I said it, The Incredible Investment Book. In a nutshell, what does it cover, some of the stuff we were talking about?
Yeah, the things we were covered about, you know, ideas. Why is doing the 1031 exchange a bad idea for most transactions? Why should you get out of your retirement accounts, your 401k, for example, your IRAs, your KEO, your SEP? Why should you get out of them? Because they don't work. We prove they don't work. It's in the book. Lots of valuable information. Also, you get my newsletter, which I put out every month in October of 07. I told people to get out of the stock market, and that was October 07. That was in my newsletter, which is free. So my book, you can get that on my website, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, etc. But the best resource for free is my website, which is 10percentdown.com. And they've got to spell out the words, no numbers, no 10. It's got to be TENPER, etc. But 10percentdown.com is a free resource. You
go
can't
there.
Get my book on there,
yep.
But you can get
okay.
a lot of it.
Chuck, thanks. We appreciate it. We'll be back on the flip side.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Are you concerned for the safety of your loved ones? Listen closely to this message from pepperspray.com. Every 22 seconds a violent crime is committed. America has changed, and your personal safety is your first priority. Be smart. Be safe. Trust Pepper Spray instead of your luck. Pepperspray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. Pepperspray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. Pepperspray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Enter SAFE in the coupon box and you'll receive a special discount off of your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to pepperspray.com. That's pepperspray.com. Or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
This year, many of us will have to make the tough decision on what to cut back on and what's essential as we prepare for an uncertain future. In these troubled times, one of the most important things your family can have is good health. Some of the contributors to poor health are parasites, viruses, toxins, and heavy metals. It's a documented fact. 80% of all Americans and 85% of people around the world suffer from internal parasites and parasitic infection. Now you can fight internal parasites, heavy metals, and high cholesterol naturally and safely by mixing fossilized phytoplankton powder, also known as FPP, with your favorite beverage once a day. FPP is now available to you from freshwaterorganics.com. A two-month supply starts at just $17. FPP is so affordable you can't afford to do without. Visit freshwaterorganics.com or call them toll-free at 888-949-3570. That's 888-949-3570.
Every major decision, the president has actually sought my advice.
That would be the voice of the very familiar Joe Biden. What do you think, America? Everybody's grading the president, Obama, in the first 100 days, which kind of in a way is crazy. 100 days isn't a lot of time for a president, take any administration, but it's something that started happening, I think. A lot of reporters would write about it back in the FDR days, and it became tradition. So there you have it. I'll tell you about the polls. The approval ratings are sky high. The latest one, I saw an ABC poll, and it was at, you know, 60-some percent as far as favorable with Obama. But what about Biden? Biden is that guy who is the classic put his foot in the mouth guy. You know what I'm talking about, the gaffes. He's had a bunch of them. Sometimes you can tell when he's made a gaffe because look at the people around him and they just kind of wince. He's a guy who was a senator for 36 years, chairman of two huge committees. He did a huge 60 Minutes interview, which is, I think, what brought it to mind. You heard a little clip of it there. But he is a walking, talking gaffe machine. He knows it, too. The ultimate political loose cannon, because he talks, and then he gets stuck, I think, sometimes around in circles. So if you were actually rating Joe Biden instead of who's the more senior person as far as experience, what would you give a Joe Biden in the first 100 days? Now, there is something that's obviously interesting about Biden that's very sad. He lost his wife, and he lost his first wife and a baby daughter. They were killed in a car crash in the early 70s. And he was the guy who, so he remarried. This is his second wife. I think they've been together 30-some years, something like that. And they have a daughter as well. But as far as that goes, the whole regular Joe thing, that became something that became larger than life, too, because he was taking the Amtrak all the time. And it was, obviously, people could relate to that, how sad that was, that tragedy. And the fact that he was now this, for a while anyway, this single father with two young sons. And it's funny thing about Biden, wherever he goes, he elicits, you know, people screaming. This happens to a lot of politicians anyway, but he definitely elicits people screaming things out in the audience. There's no question about it. Now, in the interview, he said that he likes his job and he's engaging with people and all this other stuff, and he's the number two, and he's been that sounding board for Obama, and that's what Obama does anyway. And you know, this is somebody who ran for president a couple of times, but it begs the question, what kind of an impact do vice presidents have anyway on the office of the president? And where would you put Biden in the middle of all this? Is he the one that gives you the contrarian argument, which is what he says, and often, because he speaks his own mind, runs up against that conventional wisdom? So anyway, you decide. VP Joe Biden, how would you rate him on a scale of 1 to 10? We did 1 to 10 last week on Obama, and he didn't fare as well on America Tonight. He did actually get a couple of people who gave him favorable grades. The highest one that I could see, at least through the email, and I got 22 emails on it. The one night I just kind of threw it out, because the 100-day mark comes up this week, and I got somebody who gave him a 9, saying that there was a feel-good feeling that he was the rescuer, that it had been a really rough 4 years. The past 4 years had been really rough, the tail end of the Bush administration, and, of course, what happened in 2008, in the fall of 2008 with the financial collapse. And so the one email I got, and I can't think of who it was off the top of my head. I want to say his name was John, but I'll go through them later. But anyway, his point was that there was this optimism, that whether it was perception or whatever, people were buying it, and that was the feeling, you know, that he felt he got in his neighborhood, and the people around him felt the same way. So whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, an independent, a libertarian, I don't care, blah, 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 that almost anyone would cop to having a different feeling. I disagree. I think there are people who have the opposite feeling, who have we're on a roller coaster. Oh my gosh, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen now? Was this really such a good idea? Some of the things that we've seen recently, like the release of the torture memos or interrogation techniques, which is technically what it really was to me, I think that was a big blunder. Do I think that there are a lot of things that are covered up and that are government, I don't want to say conspiracies, I hate that word, but, you know, a government play, let's say, on the people? Sure. Do I think there are gunked up politicians on both sides of the aisle in Washington? Absolutely, because we have such bloody gridlock, it's ridiculous. I say this all the time. I'm back in the Jefferson days. I'm for smaller government, baby, because all I see is a lot of interference, and I don't see enough help until it's too late, or until we're backpedaling and we're getting the stimulus that really most people aren't seeing anyway, even a little bit extra they're getting in their check. And what are we doing to the future generations? How can you possibly ever pay that ridiculous debt back? And the answer is you can't. So, therefore, that was why my grade was a 5. And yes, I do think there are some corners of the country where there is some more optimism. But let's see where it goes. 100 days to me is just way too short anyway of a measuring stick, because it's all pomp and circumstance in the beginning. Even in trying to get the cabinet together, remember there were blunders with people who were offered jobs and ultimately who didn't pay their taxes, or a couple of other things that happened along the way. So, you know, it wasn't a completely seamless transition. And then the memos, and now these pictures that are coming out in May from Iraq and Afghanistan, which just throws gasoline onto the fire. I mean, come on, how does that help? Now, the one thing that'll be an interesting turnaround if it happens, Eric Holder, the attorney general, is supposedly working with the countries of the detainees in trying to get them to take them back. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, we don't need him in this country. No, we don't need any of those detainees in one of our prisons somewhere, isolated or not, if the other countries will take them back. So far, there is massive resistance to doing that. There was even a bill in Congress to cough up where some of the money would be earmarked for giving money to the countries. Because remember, one of the things that's supposed to happen is the closing of Gitmo. So Gitmo closes, and what are these guys doing? Are they floating around on one of our boats somewhere, round and round, and they never quite dock? Well, the answer is, of course not. And that means if the countries won't take them back, they have to fall into our prison system somewhere. I mean, we know where the possibilities are, but is that what you really want to see? And we keep coming back to this deal of torture, and I've gotten more emails, I think, than I've ever gotten, ever, in the 3-plus years that I've done it, about torture interrogation techniques. Is it fair? Is it foul? What about these new pictures that are coming out that the Defense Department is releasing, and they didn't want to release them originally because of the nature of the blowback, and now ultimately what that's going to do? Oh, man. So trust me, we're not getting away from this conversation. But I'm meandering. I started off with Biden here when we jumped back on, and whether or not you thought he was doing a good job, and if you think he's doing a good job, that's all groovy cool too. But I think he's doing what most vice presidents do. What do? They're part of the pomp and circumstance, frankly. I mean, he's not a policymaker. He had much more power, obviously, as a senator, but maybe he's helping Obama. Is he an advisor who's really worth his salt? What do you think? Are they the dynamic duo or the deadly duo? Shoot us an email, americatonight.net.